with the summer months approaching, we'll talk about a timely topic of making early Shabbos. What does that mean exactly? Can you make Shabbos? What does making Shabbos early mean? How early? What exactly does it entail, etc.? So, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, on Daf, Pei Aleph, in the Gemara Yuma 81b, I think also in Rosh Hashanah 9a, the Gemara actually talks about Yom Kippur. It talks about, the Pasuk says, V'inisem es nafsho sechem. I'll read the Pasuk in English, it's from Vayikra 23:32, it says, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth of the month, in the evening. So the Gemara says, but we all know Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of the month, not the 9th. So it says it is possible to think that one should fast on the 9th, but it says in the evening. It says the 9th and in the evening. So the Gemara goes back and forth. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, how is it possible to reconcile both verses? So the Gemara says, you begin to fast while it's still yet day. In other words, the Gemara establishes the principle of Mosif Chol Al HaKodesh. There's a biblical mitzvah to add on to Yontif. In other words, by Yom Kippur, let's say Yom Kippur starts 6 o'clock, so we have a biblical mitzvah to bring in Yom Kippur early. Whether it's a 1 minute early, a half an hour early, that we'll have to see. But there's a biblical commandment, it's called Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, adding to Yom Kippur. And the Gemara then goes on, does that mean if one eats or does work on Yom Kippur early in the day, does he also get the same penalties? The Gemara says no. It doesn't take on the same punishment, but it's still, there is a mitzvah in HaTorah of adding to Yom Kippur. In fact, the Gemara in Beit talks about it in a different context. The Gemara talks about a different principle. Mutav sheyeshogim, it's better for one to violate a sin unintentionally than violate it intentionally. So, which is obvious. But what does it mean? It means, let's say you see someone, normally let's say you see someone about to do a crime or a sin, so you try to stop them. You talk to them, you give them warning, and all things being equal, hopefully you could be successful. But the Gemara says, what happens if someone, you're pretty sure you can never be positive, but based on the way he acts and everything else, the assumption is he's not going to listen to you. So what should I do? On one hand, I have a mitzvah to rebuke someone. On the other hand, to cause someone to do a sin intentionally, let's say the person doesn't even know he's doing anything wrong. And if I tell him, he's not going to care. The Gemara goes back and forth, and the Gemara says, better that a person, just like there's a mitzvah certain times to rebuke someone by saying something, sometimes there's a mitzvah not to say anything. It's result-oriented. Whatever the best way to facilitate this person doing mitzvahs, that's what you should do. So Gemara talks about people. The example the Gemara gives is, there are these people who eat right before Yom Kippur. Meaning, they don't do Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. So, Gemara talks about, and if for whatever reason, you assume they're not going to listen to you. So the Gemara says, better not to tell them and violate Bishogeg. So that's the Gemara there. But the Gemara points out, what we see, this principle even applies to a mitzvah in HaTorah. The Gemara over there says that, or assumes, that adding to Yom Kippur is a mitzvah in HaTorah. And even on a mitzvah in HaTorah, we say better to the person to do it bishogeg than to do it b'meid. You know, a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you say it's not so severe, maybe we'll, that's why we don't have to warn them. Even on a mitzvah in HaTorah. Some poskim say, on a mitzvah that's explicitly written in the Chumash, that you do warn them because that they must know. Later rabbis point out, to nowadays, many people, Jews, don't know what it says in the Chumash, so therefore, for them, it's like it's not written in the Chumash, and therefore, it's even those things, sometimes it's better not to rebuke them and tell them about something that's only going to turn them off more or make them do worse out there. So that's, so Gemara from Yom Beo, it appears that Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a biblical mitzvah. So that's Yom, so the Gemara only talks about Yom Kippur. The question is, well, the Gemara doesn't only talk about Yom Kippur, that's the focus of the Gemara. And then the Gemara also says, and also, just like there's a mitzvah, I'm paraphrasing, it doesn't say it exactly, but just like there's a mitzvah to bring in Yom Kippur early, there's a mitzvah also to bring in Shabbos and Yontif early. So that's a major discussion among the commentators, is that, is bringing in Shabbos and Yontif early, is that also a biblical mitzvah? In other words, by Yom Kippur, everyone agrees, there's no dispute. Bringing in Yom Kippur early is a biblical commandment. And in fact, it's a two-way street. There's a mitzvah to bringing it in early, and there's a mitzvah to taking it out late. So the question is, what about Shabbos? Is there a mitzvah to bring in Tosefes Shabbos early, and also making Shabbos late? So that is a major discussion. Some Rishonim point out, the Or Zeruah and others, that it's biblical as well. What is the proof? Because the proof is, there's another Gemara, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, a Gemara in Brachos, on Daf 27a. The Gemara says, Rav daven Ma'ariv early. He daven evening service while it was still yet day. He davened early. And also it seems, and the Gemara says, what about Kiddush? He also made Kiddush. So we see that Rav made Kiddush during this, let's assume Shabbos proper is 6 o'clock. So at 5 o'clock he brought in Shabbos, he made Kiddush 5:15. So the Gemara says that's also okay. So the Or Zeruah says, if we know Kiddush is a mitzvah min HaTorah, is a biblical mitzvah, and we allow you to do the biblical mitzvah during the time of addition, it forces me to conclude that Tosefes Shabbos must be a biblical mitzvah also. Or else how could you do a biblical mitzvah during a time which is only rabbinical? Because then biblically speaking, it's not Shabbos yet. How would you be able to fulfill your mitzvah of Kiddush? And the fact that we say that Rav made Kiddush early, it shows that this mitzvah of adding to Shabbos is a biblical mitzvah. And Yontif as well. Others disagree and say maybe it's only rabbinical. In fact, the opinion of the Rambam, that is a major discussion, the Rambam. Because the Rambam makes no, Rambam of course discusses Tosefes Shabbos, but he doesn't discuss, I mean he discusses Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, but he doesn't discuss, anything else. So which leads to some to conclude, there are two opinions in the Rambam. Some say the Rambam holds from him, it's only rabbinical. And others say it doesn't exist at all. According to the Rambam, there is no concept of bringing in Shabbos early, only by Yom Kippur. So if you assume that way, how would the Rambam explain the Gemara we just said? Rav Davin Ma'ariv and made Kiddush early. So obviously he brought in Shabbos early. So what would the Rambam, how could the Rambam go against the Gemara? So davening Ma'ariv early, that already is not a problem because the Rambam himself says, since we paskin, davening Ma'ariv is only optional. So optional, you have to be so careful in the time. What about Kiddush? So the Rambam is a big Kiddush. The Rambam writes, you know what? You don't have to make Kiddush on Shabbos. You can make Kiddush before Shabbos. Obviously, not 6 hours before, but you know, close to Shabbos. The mitzvah is to make Kiddush close to the Shabbos in order why to show the uniqueness and praise of the day. In fact, that's what the Rambam says about Havdalah. It's bookends. You have a mitzvah to praise Shabbos before, and in fact, the Rambam writes, one can make Havdalah as well before Shabbos is over. You can't do Malacha, but you can make Havdalah before. So the Rambam's Kiddush is that there is no concept of Kabbalah. You can't make Shabbos early. How could you make Kiddush? That's the time of Kiddush. The time of Kiddush, like candle lighting. How do you light candles? The time of candle lighting is before Shabbos, obviously, because you have to light a candle. So therefore, so we have the Rambam, so we have, everybody agrees Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is biblical, adding to Yom Kippur. Adding to Shabbos and Yom Tov, we assume it's also biblical. But then you have others who say it's only rabbinical, even the Rambam who says it's nothing. So what is the proper time for Tosefes? Assuming we said that you could bring Shabbos in early. So could I bring it in at 10 in the morning? Like, how early is early? What is the cutoff? So, there's a time period called Plag HaMincha, which means, let's use the 6 to 6 day as an example. 12-hour day, let's assume 60-minute hours, and it usually isn't that way, but because in Halacha, we just split the day, let's say in the summer, let's say you have 15 hours in the day, so then it's less than, you know, then it's more than 60 minutes. But it, let's say in the winter, let's say, you know, if you have, you have 10-hour days, you know, so it depends, every day is different, but I'm saying, so let's assume for our example, we'll keep it simple, we'll assume a 12-hour day. So let's say 6 o'clock is sunset. So an hour and a quarter before sunset, what they call Plag HaMincha, that is 4:45. That is the earliest time one can bring in Shabbos. An hour and a quarter, that's what you see on the calendar, candle lighting not before. So let's say this week will be somewhere between 7:15 and 7:30. I'm not sure the exact time, but it's going to say candle lighting not before. That's what, I mean, not before. It should be not after. Well, it's not after also. It depends how, so when we're talking about earliest time, you gotta say not before. And when we get close to sunset, you have to say not after. So that's the earliest time to bring in Shabbos, is what the time Plag HaMincha, which is an hour and a quarter before sunset. So, and then the question is, what's a regular Shabbos? So there's one, so we talk about the early Shabbos, bringing in early. Let's assume late Shabbos, we said there's a mitzvah bringing in Shabbos early every week. So we, instead of bringing in an hour and a half early, we bring it in 18, you know, say the custom is for women to light candles 18 minutes before. So we always bring in Shabbos early. So the question is, how early? Assuming you're making a regular Shabbos, how early is there a limit? Can I bring it in 10 seconds before 6 o'clock? Is that good enough? Or there has to be some significant amount of time? So the Rush writes, so there's a Machlokas in the Rishonim, Tosis in Be'ah, Daf 30a writes, that when you add to Shabbos, it must be a significant amount of time before. In other words, Tosis is pointing out, he says, when we say those people were eating before Yom Kippur, obviously they weren't eating on Yom Kippur. And let's assume 6 o'clock was Yom Kippur. They didn't stop eating 5:59 and 58 seconds. They weren't going to cut it. These are, you know, religious people, but they didn't know about. So clearly they must have stopped a couple of minutes. Even now, you know, if it's 6 o'clock, you'll stop a couple of minutes before just in case. So clearly they were doing that. And yet, so Tosis says, there must be a significant amount of time prior to sunset. However, he says he's not sure how much time. He doesn't give a definitive answer. The Rad in Shabbos on 15a, he quotes from the Ramban that even a short amount of time, one is enough to take in the Shabbos. And others say, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, they quote, some say a half an hour. In fact, that seems to be the Minhag Yerushalayim that they usually bring it in. So the Shulchan Aruch, how do we follow? We fulfill with the opinion of the Ramban that even a short amount of time one is allowed to accept. Let's say even 3 minutes before is enough. But, So the Mishnah Berurah says a short amount of time. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, one accepts Shabbat a half an hour prior to sundown. Which, and then he said, if that's not possible, 20 minutes. You know, our minute is about 18. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who were great rabbis, one was a rabbi in New York City, one was in Israel. There might be a difference between men and women in this issue. Why should there be a difference between men and women? So, Rav Moshe writes that in the Igros Moshe, he writes that, because we know on the calendars, you'll find the traditional candle lighting time is 18 minutes before sunset, right? That's the time, basically, it is. So, therefore, the minig is, women usually accept Shabbat when they light candles. However, Rav Moshe says, but men who don't light candles usually, if there's only a man in the house, he does light candles, but the custom is the woman lights, so therefore the man, he doesn't have to accept Shabbos right away. We'll see, he could accept Shabbos even later on, even a couple minutes later. And similarly, there's a minhag in Yerushalayim to accept Shabbos 40 minutes before sunset. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that the minhag applies to men and not to women. Again, so perhaps there's a distinction that because the common custom is once women light candles, that they accept the Shabbos. So therefore, perhaps women accept it first. In fact, there's a whole discussion on what exactly is the acceptance of Shabbos. That, because when one lights Shabbos candles, does one automatically accept Shabbos? So the Bahag writes in Hilchos Chanukah the following halakha. He says, when you have Erev Shabbos Chanukah, so you're going to light Shabbos candles and Chanukah candles, right? It's strong Chanukah. One must light the Chanukah candles before the Shabbos candles. Right? That's what we do. But why? He says, because according to the Bahag, when one lights the Shabbos candles, you may no longer light the Chanukah candles. So it's clear from the Bahag that upon lighting Shabbos candles, one accepts Shabbos. However, there's a dispute about what does the Bahag mean by that. So the Ran interprets the Bahag on Shabbos 10a, that it's the lighting of the Shabbos candle is the last thing you do before Shabbos. Once you light the candles, that's what he means. And others, and therefore implicit in the lighting of the Shabbos candles is the acceptance of Shabbos. And Rav Shimshon ben Tzadok, the Tashbeis, he says, no, it's the bracha you make. That's the explicit declaration when you say, lehadlik ner shal. So Bahag says, the lighting of the candles is your acceptance. So within the Bahag, some say it's the actual lighting of the candles, like the simple explanation. Others claim, no, it's not the actual lighting. But when you make the blessing, lahalak ne'er shel Chanukah, that's your acceptance of Shabbos. So there's the Hagos Maimonides, this commentator on the Rambam, says there's a fundamental difference between these two reasons on whether you accept Shabbos by lighting the candles or you accept Shabbos by the blessing before. So he writes as follows. He quotes from the Maharam that when a woman lights candles, she should light on condition that she does not accept the Shabbos until she puts down the match that she uses, because obviously a match is muktzah. So the Maharam writes that a woman should have in mind that she's going to put down, she's not accepting Shabbos until she puts down the matches or the barbecue light or whatever you use. If she doesn't make this stipulation, Shabbos will be imposed upon her by the mere lighting of the candles, and she will violate the prohibition of muktzah. So the Maharam is saying two things here. First, he's saying he agrees with the Ran that the candle lighting is the actual acceptance of Shabbos, and not the bracha, but it's the actual candle lighting. And secondly, he tells us a big thing. that one can make a stipulation in the lighting. It's not only, in other words, you could say, I'm lighting candles, but I'm not accepting Shabbos, that we'll get to. In other words, can a woman, let's say, wants to come to shul Friday night, so, and but she has to light candles, so she, could she, is she still allowed to drive to shul, or once she lights candles, that's it? So we'll see. That's what we'll see. So, so there are two chidushim here. One was that there was a stipulation that, that you're allowed to make a stipulation. One is it's lighting the candles itself. And in fact, it makes sense that they'd go together, because he says, one can only make a stipulation in the acceptance of Shabbos if it is an implicit acceptance of Shabbos. For example, lighting candles without actually... L'halak Nashal Shabbos, you're stating it's Shabbos. It's like making Kiddush, you're saying it's Shabbos. But this lighting candles by itself, you know, maybe, you know, not by itself, isn't... it's implicit, but it's not explicit. So they point out that if you assume that the acceptance of Shabbos is explicit, so then you can't make a stipulation. It's a contradiction. But if you assume it's implicit, like we do, candle lighting, so then you can make a stipulation. That's a major thing. So therefore, before you light candles, you can make a stipulation. That's the way we assume. You can make a stipulation saying, I'm not accepting Shabbos until I get to shul, until after I park my car and come into shul. So we assume that's okay. A woman is permitted to do that. And in fact, that's the difference between a man and a woman. For a woman who normally accepts Shabbos through a candle lighting, so she has to explicitly make that stipulation that she's not. And if a woman doesn't say anything or think anything, we assume then she has to accept Shabbos, because that's the way. However, for a man who doesn't usually light candles, so he's just lighting candles because the wife's away, so then we assume he's not going to, so then he doesn't have to make any stipulation. We assume he's not going to accept Shabbos until he gets to shul. So we assume that you can make a stipulation. So if you make a stipulation, you can drive, but if you don't make a stipulation, we assume you accepted Shabbos, and then you can no longer do malacha. What about a case that comes up a lot? Is a husband's acceptance of Shabbos binding on the wife? In other words, I'll tell you what happens. Especially now, during early minyan. So let's say you have a 7 o'clock minyan, whatever it is. But Shabbos really is until 8:30. And let's say the woman still has to, you know, she has to take a shower, get ready, get dressed, all that. Is it proper for her, so the husband's already in shul davening, but he won't be back until, let's say, I leave my house at 7, I'm not going to be home till 8:30. So is it okay for my wife to do stuff up until I come home, and then before I come home, light candles and then that? Or do I say, no, once I accept Shabbos, she has to? So that's the... So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a landmark tshuva. He discusses is the wife bound by the husband's acceptance. So he says like this: if there's only one synagogue in the community, and he means one Orthodox synagogue in the community, all the members of the community are bound by the communal acceptance. So, hypothetically, if this is the only shul in Hamilton, and we were making early Shabbos, then the whole community is bound. We'll explain that, but in theory, that's why we don't do that. That's why either we'll have a late minyan or et cetera. But in theory, if you only have one minyan in town and you make it early, everyone in the community is bound to start Shabbos early. That's if there's one synagogue. If there's more than one synagogue, then according to the Mishnah Berurah, the members of one synagogue are not bound by the acceptance of another synagogue, even if, let's say, you have 100 Jews, 90 daven in one shul, 10 in the other, even if the 90 made early Shabbos, you wouldn't be bound. As long as there's another shul making, or even the same shul, but a later minyan, then you're not bound. So the question is, so can the wife claim that she is not bound by the acceptance of a husband's congregation, but rather by a different congregation, or no congregation? In other words, is she bound by a husband wherever a husband is? So Rav Moshe gives us three instances. He says like this. He says, the first case is the congregation accepts Shabbos early on a weekly basis, meaning even in the winter. Let's say every 52 weeks a year, they make it early. If that's the case, so it shows what? They're doing it because of the mitzvah, right? And therefore he says, if it's only shul in town, you're bound by that shul. If the husband regularly attends services in that congregation, it's considered the family's minhag, and the wife is also bound, therefore she'd have, if they make early Shabbos every week, all year round, then we assume it's the family minhag, and the wife would have to begin Shabbos right away. That's the first scenario. The second instance is where the congregation normally does not accept Shabbos early, but one time they decide to bring it in early. So in such a situation, the wife is not bound by her husband's acceptance because it's not considered a family minhag. So if you do it every Shabbos, then that's a family minhag. If you don't do it every Shabbos, then she's not bound. If, however, that congregation is the only congregation in the community, so then the entire community is bound by the congregation itself. Again, that's assuming there are other people, but assuming there are other minyanim. So if you make early Shabbos every week, the wife is bound. If you make Shabbos early once or twice a year, the wife isn't bound. What about the third cases where the community accepts Shabbos early for convenience purposes, i.e. the summer months? That's what we do. If we were concerned about the mitzvah, then why not bring it up early in the winter? Because we don't like it. The kids, we want them to have I'm not saying it's not a good reason, but I'm saying it, but we're doing it, we're not fooling ourselves, we're bringing in Shabbos early because of convenience, or if not, we'll be doing it every week. If we're doing it, the mitzvah is so separate, Shabbos applies 52 weeks a year. If you only do it when Shabbos starts 9 o'clock, obviously you're doing it for convenience. So the Rav Moshe writes about if the community only accepts Shabbos for convenience purposes, the wife is certainly not obligated to accept them when the husband accepts. And perhaps he says, and not only that, but he says, the minority is not bound by the majority. He says, even if perhaps you were the only shul in town, and you only do it in the summer months, then no one's bound to you because you're not doing it for the mitzvah, you're doing it for your own convenience. So Rav Moshe Feinstein adds that although in the second and third instance a wife is not bound by her husband's acceptance, it's still proper not to do any malacha, any work which her husband may benefit. In other words, he's saying, Rav Moshe is saying, technically you're allowed, but she shouldn't really be doing any cooking anymore, as I pointed out. She's taking a shower, doing things that she has to do, so then those are the things she should do. But that's what he points out. So there's three instances. If the shul always, if you accept Shabbos early every week, it's a family minhag, and then you're bound. If you really ever do it, you're not bound. And if you only do it in the summer months, he says you're not bound either, because that's only for convenient reasons and not for, and therefore you wouldn't be bound. So they talk about making early Shabbos. So what does that mean, early Shabbos? So for instance, when I say I'm bringing in Shabbos early, so what do I mean? Do I mean to say that basically it's still Friday, but I'm going to take off, I'm not going to do certain, I'm going to practice Shabbos. In other words, it's still Friday, but I'm going to act like it's Shabbos now. Is that, or I say no, more than that. We have the power to transform the day into night. And right now, it's considered nighttime already. I'll give you a for instance. Let's say, there's a halacha, let's say, Shavuos, we just had it. We waited on Shavuos the first night until very until the regular time. The question is why? Why did we make Yontif early the first night? So the answer is because we had to wait because we're finishing counting Sfira to Omer, and we want to make it a complete count, meaning a full 50 days, 49 days. So why not make Yontif early? So it depends. So according to the Taz, who writes, you're transforming the day. So then I'm cutting it. I'm not doing a completeness. However, if you're just saying I'm not changing the day, I'm just taking on certain things, and then one would be permitted to. Or let's say, for instance, another issue comes up is Shemini Atzeres is the eighth day of Pesach. So we don't, so in Israel, let's say, not in Israel, in America, we sit in the sukkah and don't make a blessing. I'm not going into that. It's different customs. Some people sit inside, but the strict halacha is you're supposed to sit in the sukkah, but you don't make a bracha because you don't want to make a bracha leishay basukkah because it's Shemini Atzeres. So the problem is like this. It's sukkah until the end of the seventh day. So what about making Yontif early? So the Maharshal writes, it's a problem because we're going to have a problem. If we make Yontif early, so it's going to be Shemini Atzeres, but it's still Sukkot. So then, if I sit in the sukkah, I'll have to make a leishay basukkah. But then, so he says, don't make early because of that. And the Taz says, what's the problem? Make it early. That's it, because he holds it transforms the day. So once you bring in Yontif or Shabbat, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Or another case where. Let's say it was Rosh Hashanah, and the second day was Friday, and you couldn't find the shofar, and they made early Shabbos. And then after they made early Shabbos, they found the shofar. So, is there any point in blowing shofar? So, depends. If you assume making early Shabbos transformed the day, so Rosh Hashanah is over. If I assume, no, it's still here. I'm just taking in practices of Shabbos, and then you still could blow the shofar. Interesting that Taz writes you can, even though it seems to conflict with what he says, with his principle. Or, for instance, the Tziv writes, a woman lit candles early, she accepted Yontif early, and then one of her relatives died. So the issue is like this. If she would sit Shivan now right before Yontif, then once Yontif comes, Shiva will fall off. But if someone dies on Yontif, there is no Shiva. You wait until you do the burial. You don't start Shiva until after Yontif. So the question is like this. She accepted Yontif, and now she heard, whatever, someone passed away. Is she allowed to sit Shiva now? Because, you know, it's not... So that's the question again. So if Tosefis Yontif transforms the day, it's already Yontif, it's too late. But if it just take on the Nehugim, the practices, so then it's okay. So that's a lot of practical differences. Another interesting halacha, we know also the Shabbos meal. You know, let's say we eat Shabbos early. So, we eat the meal early. But let's say it happened to me like last week, it's a couple of weeks ago, because my wife was sick, so I davened home. And we ate. You know, if I go to shul, it's not a problem because by the time I get home already, it's an hour and a half later. Even though I might start my meal, but the time I finish eating, it's dark out. But the question is, what happens if you... You know, let's say Pagam Mincha 7:15, you start your meal at 7:30. You finish your meal at 8 o'clock, it doesn't get dark until 9. So there's a discussion, do I have to have part of my Suda on Shabbos proper, or it's enough to have the Suda even during this time? So You know, so that's, again, so if the Taz says, it's okay. Because the problem is like this, it says, Ichu Hayom Ki Shabbos, you're supposed to have the meal on Shabbos. So the Taz says, Tosefet Shabbos transforms the day, so it's fine. And others say, no, it doesn't transform the day, and therefore you have to wait, you have to have at least a kezias of bread after it gets dark. You know, so, again, my Ikarad did, we paskin, it's okay, you don't have to, but it's best to miss, you know, the poskim, right? If you can, you should have a kezias of bread, which I did. I ended up having, I waited, I had a kezias of bread, you know, when it got dark out, when it was nighttime. And another, we know there's a concept of Amira Lenacher. We know there's a concept of getting a non-Jew to do malacha for you, to do work for you. Right? You know, I mean, obviously, there are a lot of exceptions to the rule, but in general, the general rule is whatever you can't, it starts off like this, whatever you can't do, you can't have someone else do it for you. However, it is out of exceptions. Therefore, so in general, really, you know, I gotta have someone do something for you. However, you know, there's a lot of exceptions to that rule. So the question is, let's say I accept Shabbos early, right? And you don't. And let's say, for me it's Shabbos, and let's say, but it's, you didn't even light candles yet. Am I allowed to come over to you and ask you to do work for, I want you to, you know, I forgot to turn something on. So what's the story in that case?
No, because if you can't do it, then you can't ask someone else to do it for you.
Right, that is the normal rule. But in Shulchan Aruch, interesting enough, we paskin, it's okay. The Shulchan Aruch paskin, that even though, even though you accept it, it says it is permitted for one who accepts the early Shabbos to ask someone who has not yet done so to perform work for him. And what's the reason? What's the logic behind this? So the mother of Ram writes that the prohibition to ask another person to do work exists only where the one requesting the work is forbidden to do it absolutely and unconditionally. Since a Jew is absolutely and unconditionally prohibited to do work on Shabbos, he can't even ask a non-Jew. When it's unconditional Shabbos for you, you can't have anyone do it. However, one who accepted Shabbos early wasn't bound to it. It was his own, it wasn't unconditionally prohibited. He volunteered on his own. So since he chose the option, so therefore there was no prohibition against him asking. The Magen Avraham warns the only prohibition is if it's clearly Shabbos for you, you had no choice. But if you optionally chose Shabbos, it's okay. The Taz gives another reason. He says, because since both, he says, why is it normally usher to ask you and ask a non-Jew to do work on Shabbos? Because both of you, it's Shabbos now, even though the guy might not be chayav in Shabbos, but for both parties, you know, it's you know, the Shabbos exists. So he says, in this case, however, the Shabbos is not being experienced universally. One person's Shabbos is the other's Friday. For this reason, it's permitted for one who has already accepted the Shabbos to instruct one who has not to do work for him. So whatever the reason is, Machokas Magen Avraham Taz, but that's the halacha. We paskin that if you bake Shabbos early and you forget and you're stuck, you could go over to a Jew and he could do malacha for you. He raised an interesting question about what happens if a Jew on one side of the international dateline for whom it's Shabbos asks another Jew on the other side for whom it is not Shabbos. So he writes, according to the Taz, it would be permitted since, in this case as well, all the participants are not within the Shabbos framework. But it's only Friday for one person. According to the Magen Avraham, it would be a problem since the Jew for whom it is Shabbos is bound unconditionally by its sanctity. He can't change an effort. So those are the different questions. So those are, you know, many interesting questions come up on the early Shabbos. You know, from in terms of whether it's a biblical mitzvah, what's the scope, how early, what are you allowed to do beforehand, in terms of a husband and wife being locked in together, etc.